we won't be here Christmas, so I lit all the candles today. Yeah. We're looking at the Gospel of Matthew, and human history is a history of destruction, sin, rebellion, and all kinds of evil. And even biblical history has a lot of that in it, where most of the people in the Old Testament, most of the people recorded throughout the history of it, they failed the Lord. They failed to follow God. They failed to honor God. They committed idolatry and adultery and all these different crimes. And you would think, it's all lost. At one point in Isaiah, you would think everything's over because God sends a nation, Assyria, to come and destroy Israel, and then later takes Judah off into captivity. And you might think, wow, is there anything that can redeem humanity? Is there anything that can bring redemption even to this story or the history of the Old Testament? Matthew wants to show us that God indeed sent a redeemer, that God indeed sent someone to redeem history, to redeem humanity, and he does that in so many different ways. In chapter 1, we learn that Jesus is connected to every promise that God ever made. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was to come and be the helper of the Lord, the one that would save God's people. He's the coming king. He's, from the line of David, a throne that will exist forever. He is Savior. His name, Jesus, means Savior. In chapter 2, he's going to tell us more about Jesus and more about who he is and more about the redemption of all of God's plans and all of God's work. And that redemption that we should know very well in our own hearts and our own lives. He is Emmanuel. He is the new image of God, the new Adam, the last Adam. Joseph woke up after an angel had warned him and told him, go ahead and take Mary to be your wife. He woke up. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the king Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ to be born? And in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So these foreigners came to Jerusalem because they saw a marvelous light in the heavens. A light which is, it's a very powerful picture of God entering into the darkness of this world. This world is a dark, sinful place. And the light of God, basically from heaven, is shining down and leading these men. And they're not Jewish. They're not part of God's community, but they're wise men. They're men who study the heavens. And in Genesis 1:14 says that the stars are established in the heavens as signs. And these guys understood the sign meant that there was going to be a king born in Israel. And so they followed that sign. And they came to worship Jesus. You see these little things. Wise men seek him. Wise men want to worship him. The other interesting part about this is when Herod hears about this, he asks the priests and the scribes, the leaders of the religious community, where is the Christ to be born? So they understood that the Messiah, the Christ, was going to be also the king. So you have the king and Christ combined together here as they understood that that was who he was. The worst part about this is that Herod, being the king, was disturbed. And it says that so was all Jerusalem. You think about the name of Jesus. You think about the words of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has two different kinds of impact on us, right? Either we love that name and we want to worship that name, we want to call on that name, or we despise that name. People hate that name. People won't let you say it. If you ever notice, our politicians rarely, if ever, will say the name Jesus because they know the people, on the whole, don't want to hear the name Jesus. I love the name Jesus. I say the name Jesus daily in my prayers. I say it all the time. I know there's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. And those of us who come here on a regular basis, we come to seek Jesus, to worship him. But you see this battle going on right away. There's this battle between those who want to worship him and those who want to cause Jesus harm. So then Herod's little plotty mind gets working, and he calls the Magi to him, and he says, you know, tell me, you will find this baby. Go find where he is, and then come back and tell me, because I also want to worship him. He actually did not want to worship him. The quote from Micah 2 also talks about his going forth from long ago, from days of eternity. Jesus Christ, the Messiah King, is not something that God thought up late in time. It says before the foundation of the earth, before God said, let there be light, there was Christ. There was the idea of the incarnation of Christ, the God-man Christ who is going to come and redeem all of God's plans and all of his promises. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, the King. After they heard the King, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They saw the star and were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Indeed, they were seeking the Messiah. They were seeking this new, awesome king, and this light led them. It's got to be a miraculous light, right? It wasn't like a star in the heavens that just shines, and you can just barely see the light. But this star had a light that shone down right on the place where Jesus was born, right on the place where Jesus and his mother Mary was. And so these guys, they followed that, and they were very excited to see that light, the marvelous light of Christ, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. This is also something that, it's interesting, Matthew doesn't point it out, but it also fulfills a text from Isaiah chapter 60. When they got there and they bowed down, they gave him treasures, and they presented him with gold, incense, and myrrh. So we call it frankincense, was actually gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Listen to this. It's just some excerpts from Isaiah 60, and you can look up the whole thing, but this captures the idea. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And the wealth of the nations will come to you, and they will bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. So here's from Isaiah, 750 years or so before Jesus was born. Isaiah proclaims kind of this event happening 700 years later, right? Says, now, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another way. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up and he took the child and the mother during the night and left for Egypt. Here he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet Hosea, out of Egypt I called my son. This is a very important text, a very important part of Jesus. I mentioned before, Jesus is the second Adam. He's the new Adam, the last Adam. He's also the fulfiller of all the promises that God made in Scripture. And I also told you that he is the new Israel. And that's what this text talks about. If you think about what happened, where did Israel come out of? God brought them out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and he brought them out, and he sent them off into the wilderness, right? Well, here's a little bit of what Hosea 11 is all about. Hosea 11, which is quoted there, right, that out of Egypt I called my son. He talks about the Lord saving his people out of Egypt. He says, you know, basically like a son. Like, I saved my son out of Egypt. I cared for him. I watched over him. I protected him, right? And the response of the son was to rebel against the Lord, that they began to worship idols. They began to worship other things other than God. They worshiped the Baals. They worshiped the Asherah poles. And they gave themselves all kinds of rebellion and disobedience. So the Lord says in Hosea, he says that, you know, I have to punish my son. And so he sends them back to Egypt. He sends them back to Assyria. And that's what happened after the exile. They had to go back, right? And then the Lord's heart softens. And he says, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back from Egypt. I'm going to bring them back to me. This is actually a complaint from the law. Like, this is what you were supposed to do. If you had a rebellious son, you were supposed to do this. You were supposed to punish him. And so this is a complaint. God says, I took care of him. I loved him. I kept him in my arms. And then they rebelled against me. And so I had to punish them. But my heart is soft for, and I brought them back. And they quote this text about Jesus saying that Jesus was going to come out of Egypt. The point is that just like Israel had to come out of Egypt, but then because they sinned and because they were not right with God, they had to go back to Egypt. And now through Jesus Christ, he's bringing about a redemption of the history of Egypt, of Israel. He's bringing a redemption of Israel, and the whole of Matthew kind of follows this pattern of Jesus being that new person, being that new Israel, and going to redeem all the plans that God made in the past. It's a very deep kind of theological thing, but I hope you can see the idea of what Matthew is trying to tell us, how special Jesus is. He's connected again to all those Old Testament promises. He's connected to David as the eternal king. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the image of God restored. He is the new Israel. And he also is like Moses. So Herod came and he realized he'd been outwitted and he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity and who were 2 years old or under, in accordance to the time he learned from the Magi. Then what was said by the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Just like Moses, remember when Moses was a baby, Pharaoh was killing all the Israelites. He wanted to get rid of him. He was afraid that they would overpower him. Here, Herod is afraid that this child is a king and he's going to overthrow him. He's going to take his place. He's going to remove his family from power. And so he does the same thing that Pharaoh did. And just as God miraculously saved Moses, he also saves Jesus. Another connection with the history of Israel and who Jesus is as the new Israel. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard about Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. So here you have the Exodus from Egypt back to Israel. It's also interesting, like in John, Jesus stays away from Jerusalem. because that's where all the powers of the world are. That's where all the priests that are there, they're not interested in God. They're interested in their own political powers. And so it's a very dangerous place for the truth. And so here Jesus is warned in Matthew, you know, stay away from Jerusalem. And he goes to Galilee. So what has he told us? Again, I repeat this, but what has he told us about Jesus? If you want to be part of the promises that God has made in all of Scripture, not just New Testament, but all of Scripture, Jesus is the way. If you want to serve a king that's not going to let you down and give you a real righteous leadership, it's Jesus. If you're going to listen to God's promise, it is Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, the image of God. We want to become like him. And he has a power and he has the authority to make us be like him. John says that. He says he gives to everyone who believes in him, he gives us authority to become children of God. Not born of man's will, but born by the will of God. He is the Messiah. He is the future king. He is the very image of God. He says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone who wants to be right with God must come through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the most magnificent Savior. He wraps up everything in Scripture in one person, in one name. And Paul tells us that, you know, at the end of the gospel, after he rose, that there is a name of Jesus is above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess he is Lord. Matthew is introducing us to the Lordship and the glorious Savior, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for such a great salvation that comes through the name of Jesus, and such a great name that there's no name like the name of Jesus. There's no person like the person of Jesus. There's no one in all human history, Lord, that measures up to Jesus, our Savior, our King, our Lord. And we bow before him, Lord, and we want to worship him. We want to praise him, and we want to praise you, Almighty God, for what you've done for us through Jesus. Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.